Give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We worship your majesty. We say thank you for your faithfulness, O God. Thank you for your loving kindness toward us and your tender mercies toward us. We bless your holy name and worship you this morning. Speak your word to us, O God. May none of us leave the same. May we be blessed indeed because we came. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And the saint said, Amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats. You can put your hands together for Jesus while doing that. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. How is the fasting going? Yes, the fasting is very, very powerful. So we are fasting, and by the fast, God is going to grant us everything we are looking for. Now you will see that Jesus said many things about prayer. Hallelujah. Many things about prayer. And then he said something about fasting. Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, or in Mark, whichever one you want. Matthew 17, we can start from 18 to 21, or Mark 9, you can start from 27 to 29. Choose your pick. Okay, we'll go with Matthew, since he was an apostle. Okay, so in fact, let's start from maybe 15. Lord, have mercy on my son. So Jesus and Peter, James, John were coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. As they were coming down, they heard a lot of shouting and screaming. So they were wondering what is going on. As soon as they got there, a man came to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Oh, may you and I as disciples be able to cure every problem, because Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
Then Jesus answered and said, Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Because the master himself was speaking. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Fasting. So there are certain times that you need fasting to push or break a certain issue or destroy a certain stronghold. Hallelujah. So fasting sometimes fasting goes beyond prayer. So if the beginning of the year we are fasting for our future, come on. Ooh, great things are happening.
Amen.
I said great things are happening.
Amen.
Doors are opening.
Amen.
Doors are closing.
Amen.
Now which doors are opening? The doors of victory are opening.
Amen.
The doors of provision are opening.
Amen.
The doors of good health are opening.
Amen.
The doors of blessings are opening.
Amen.
Which doors are closing? The doors of lack,
Amen.
The doors of defeat,
Amen.
The doors of poverty,
Amen.
The doors of diseases
Amen.
Are all closing.
Amen.
I see God opening doors of victory in your life in Jesus' name. So that's why it's important for us to fast.
Amen.
Okay, let's continue with what we were sharing last week. We're going to conclude today. We're talking about covenant. Last week was what? No, 2 weeks ago actually was Covenant Sunday. Hallelujah. And last week I was at a pastor's meeting. So I'll just finish what we started on Covenant Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. So we talked about important things we should aim for going forward from 2018 onwards. Become more committed to God is what we talked about. Hallelujah. Become more committed to God. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Hallelujah. Now look at Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Is it to every Christian? Is it to every Christian? No. It is a particular group. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Look at NESB. So you and I must be people who love God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, what does it mean to love God? To love him with all our hearts, all our soul, all our might. Hallelujah. So love God with your energy. The Bible says that Jacob, for the love that he had for Rachel, 7 years seemed like a few days. 7 years he had to serve for Rachel was like a few days. So the labor and the hard work that Jacob had to experience was nothing because of the love. So when you and I love God, it will reflect on how we are able to do things in a certain way. Am I preaching to somebody? Okay. Because of time, let's just continue. We'll get back to the most important commandment later. The second, so what do we say? The first is be committed to God. Committed to his word. Be committed to God's word. Be committed to prayer. Be committed to him. Be committed to his church. Now someone will ask, can you be committed to God without being committed to his church? Is that possible? Well, you can be committed to the church and not committed to God. That one is clear. There are many actually who are committed to the church, but not committed to God. That I don't, no, not I don't believe. It is certain that you cannot be committed to God without being committed to his church, because Christ is the head of the church. So it's similar to being committed to someone, but not being committed to his head. And the head is where everything is. Or being committed to America when you are in Saudi Arabia, but not having any connection with his embassy. The church is Christ's embassy on earth. We are ambassadors of Christ. And then being committed, now how will you be committed to God properly? Not only the church, but be committed to his word. Because you are committed to Jesus Christ means you are committed to his word. That unless you can, I don't know, maybe you can get a vision and be transported to see Jesus. Look at what the Bible says in John 1:1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. Now this word beginning is the distant past. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Verse 2. The same was with God in the beginning. Or the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So it's clear that in the beginning there was a word. Capital W-O-R-D. Or capital W, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the beginning was a word. Or the word. And that word was with God the Father. And that word was God. And that word was in the beginning. And never God the Father never existed without him, because there was no, the word existence does not even add up, because he's self, he always existed. There's never been a time that he never existed. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in that word was life, and the life was the light of men. But verse 3 says that all things were created by him. When you look at Colossians 1:16, it also talks about the fact that Christ, all things were created by him. Now verse 4 says that in Christ, or in that word, let's not even mention Christ yet. In that word, which is God, which was with God, was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light, which is the word, shineth in the darkness. That's why the word of God, when it's preached or it's read or it's spoken, it dispels every darkness in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not withstand it. And then let's go to verse 12 to verse 14. So now we just know that there's a word that is God. That's all we know so far. But as many as received the word, which is him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And now this is where it connects to who Christ is. And the word became flesh. Oh, hallelujah. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can we separate Jesus from his word? Impossible. Just like you can't separate vitamin C from an orange. Well, it's more complex than that. I'm just giving a very simple, silly example. God is too complex for that. Hallelujah. How many are getting what I'm saying here? So the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus, the incarnation, is when all this happened. Now, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It's about 3-4. To explain that you can't be committed to Jesus Christ without being committed to his word, because he and his word are one. So how you read the Bible, how you love the word, how interested you are in the word, of course, that comes by praying about it. It's not automatic that you might like the word. The Bible says, all we have gone astray. Each man has gone his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's not automatic. That's why you have to pray. One of my prayers is, oh God, give me the grace to love you more. Give me the grace to love your word. It's a prayer. King David also prayed, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. David talked about the word. He wants to love the word. Now, 1 John 1:1, the Apostle John was telling the church about something very important. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So you and I cannot separate our love and commitment to Jesus Christ from our love and commitment to his word. Amen. What does it mean? When a word is preached, or you hear a word, or you read a word of God, the word of God, and it tells you, love your enemies, or love your neighbor, or forgive, or it tells you to love, or to do something, how do you respond to it? It's how you respond to Jesus of Nazareth. How do you respond to his word? How do you value his word? When you don't follow his word, does it trouble you? At least it troubles me. If a time comes that it's not troubling me, I get troubled. Because it means that I'm getting far from God. But when it is troubling me, it is a good thing. Hallelujah. Because yes, your conscience, because you want the word, you want to love the word, respect the word. Amen. Am I preaching to somebody? So that's why it's important for us, when we are committed to God, to be committed to his word. Now, I can't be committed to someone unless I speak to the person regularly. So you and I, we need to be committed to Jesus Christ by speaking to him. Amen. Am I preaching to somebody? Speak to him. And of course, we need to pray. Praying in tongues is a blessing. But Christians too can easily fall short of, not even fall short, but also miss out on 100%. You are still praying, because the Bible says that when you pray, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit is praying. So I normally read whilst I'm praying the Bible. I'm praying. But if you are not careful, you miss out on the intimacy with God, because you also have to be able to tell him in your understanding. But speaking in tongues should be about 80-90%. And then 10%. So if you are speaking in tongues 90%, then it means that you have to be praying a lot to be able to get some good quality discussion with him.
Right.
Oh God, I want to buy this particular house or this particular car. Yeah, it looks like a lot of new cars will be flowing, or the way the car. I want to buy this particular car. And then, no, but God, what about this one? This one looks good. You can discuss that with God.
Right.
But make sure you throw in some tongues. Keba shaka de mato. Okay, yeah. Because when you speak in tongues, you are speaking mysteries. You are speaking solutions. You are speaking solutions in advance before the things come. You are speaking and dealing with problems that are 5 years ahead of you, a week ahead of you, 10 years ahead of you. You are speaking solutions. You are speaking God's mind concerning you. And I, hallelujah, you can put your hands together for Jesus. But the devil fights it. Doesn't the devil fight it? The devil fights the word. The devil fights our commitment to the word. The devil is always fighting me to be committed to his word and prayer. And I'm very sure you also, because we are all here on earth. But the fact that he fights does not mean that I don't pray. I didn't say that. He fights. You have to make the extra effort to pray or to read the Bible. Hallelujah. And there are times that you are coasting beautifully. But that's been some time where you are excited. You are always excited, but somehow, oh, I'm excited to read the word or to pray. Okay, I'll pray in an hour. Okay, just give it another hour. Let's give it an hour. That isn't that what happens before you realize nothing? So what I do is I say to myself that I'm not going to sleep till I pray. There are times that I'll just have to sleep 2 hours. I've done my job. That's what we are talking about. Sometimes the sleep, you can do what you want. You can take the coffee, but you wake up at 6 a.m. How many has that happened to you before? I have a chair that I sit in. Hallelujah. But you got to do what you got to do. Hallelujah. You got to pray. Hallelujah. Because God wants to see that you and I are making the effort to spend time with him. Imagine you are someone whose child, they've gone home, they've left home. When my children were a certain age, they begged me to just see my face. Sometimes I'll be praying and I'll be in the room. They'll come, knock on the door. What do you want? We just want to be by you. And they'll lie on the floor outside the door. So what do I do? I'll open the door and just lie around and they'll be happy. I'm not talking about those times. Those times are easy. I'm talking about when they get to teenage years. Don't shout me down now. When they get to teenage years, or they are out of the house and in college or living with their families, and you see that they are making the extra effort. Okay, you know what? I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to try to come to you. And if I'm going to drive to you, you see that they are making the effort. They are making the effort. And maybe they miss a few, and then they are able to at least come for a short time. And you can tell that they really sacrificed to come. You are happy with that. And then you give them the help to be able to do it more. How? Maybe you just give them a gift. Okay, I know you are rich. Let me give you a ticket money in advance. So that's how why God helps us. When he sees we are making the effort, then he steps in to help us to do it better. But God must see the effort. You can put your hands together for Jesus. Now when the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good, you can taste it really properly when you are a worshiper. When I'm not talking about in church on Sunday, I'm talking about in your chambers at home. David was not a worshiper in church only, but he worshiped in church, and that was a reflection of who he was. David the king, when they were bringing the ark, the Bible says that David played the king. Normally, kings would be as I'm sure that's what Saul did. As the stiff, as the people were dancing. Yes. No. David played before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he danced so much that his outer garment came off. And it was so vile to the wife that when he came, he blessed Israel. I bless you, Israel. He blessed them. He gave them money. He blessed them. Gave them food. Okay, you know what, Israel? Let me do a good thing for you, because the ark, my Lord, my God, the one I love, his presence is coming with us. Then he went home to bless his household. But because of how he danced, the wife was like, look at you, dirty old man. So that's how you and I must be. People must see the way we dance and the way we love God.
Hallelujah.
And say that, look, it's too much.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much. There's a guy who used to dance when I was in church in the UK. He used to dance in a certain way. I used to laugh. But I realized that, look, I can't laugh because maybe this is what God is looking for in the guy.
Yeah.
So let me take it easy. So I don't laugh at people or look at people funny when they dance. Some people can dance. I mean, you would have to restrain yourself from laughing. Most likely, David was even worse than that in his dance. Because for a wife to tell him that, look at you, look at how you displayed before people, it was embarrassing to her. And David said, hey, you don't understand. Do you know where I was when God took me?
That's right.
You know where I was. Actually, because of what you said, I'm now going to be more base. The dance is going to be worse.
Hallelujah.
And then he said, the girls, it's because of the girls, the way I was dancing, they were touching me. That's your problem, man. I'm going to do it even more. Actually, those girls, no, you are going to see more of them. Hey! Because I'm sure that was all connected to her anger. Hallelujah. Am I preaching? So let's love God. Let's worship. Let's be people who worship. There's a message that a bishop preached, and I've preached on it some time back. It's how to be one of God's favorite children. Worship. Worship. God loves worship. Look at John chapter 4, verse 24. Let's start from 20. I have 7 points, and I'm struggling to get past this one. Start from 20. Good. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he must pass through Samaria. Hallelujah. Is that right?
That's
right. Let's start from where it begins. Is it verse 14? Okay, let's continue. Verse 10, where it starts. Where he meets a woman at the well. And it starts where it says he was going to Jerusalem also, and he must needs go through Samaria. Okay. John 4. Okay, let's start from verse 1 so that we can make it easier. Good. When therefore the Lord knew, verse 2. 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Okay, so it was Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Then it continues. Then Jesus stops there and asks the disciples say, okay, we are going to get food. So Jesus, then you can go to verse 20, I'll just give this history. Then Jesus meets this woman, and as the woman is about to dig in the well, Jesus says, give me some water, please. As the woman is getting the water, Jesus says that, do you know that I can give you water that is even better than this? And that water I can give you, it will cause you never to thirst again.
Wow.
Then she said, are you greater than our father Jacob? It is Jacob's well. And then Jesus said, yes, the water I will give you is living water. Jesus said unto the woman, believe me, okay, well, that the water I'll give you is living water. And it will cause you never to thirst again. Then Jesus said, then the woman said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Then Jesus said, yes, I think it was before them. He said that, look, do you have a husband? She said, oh, no, I don't. And Jesus said, it's true you don't have a husband, but the one you are living with is not your husband. Then the woman said, well, I perceive you are a prophet. Then as Jesus was talking, Jesus said that salvation is of the Jews. The woman said that, look, my people used to worship in this mountain, used to worship, but we are waiting for the Messiah to come. Then Jesus said, the one you are speaking to, I am he. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Have you understood it so far? Verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the Father is seeking for true worshippers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you and I must be people who love God so much that we worship him. What does worship also mean? Worship, of course, we sing to him, but worship is also placing great worth on God and his word. Hallelujah. We worship him. We magnify him. We make him great in our eyes. We make him great everywhere. That's worship. And praise is praising him for what he has done. Praising him for what he will do. Worship and praise. And many times it is done with singing and with action of our lives. Am I preaching to somebody? In heaven, that's what we'll be doing. We'll be worshiping God. So worship is also singing. And an attitude, when you have an attitude of placing great worth on God and his word, and you are singing to him, he's soaking it in. But David was not only a singing man, but imagine David, when the ark is going to Jerusalem, every six steps, remember that people are carrying the ark, he must, and instead of he sitting in that king's thing, I'm sure he was on the floor walking with them. And there was a whole crowd. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stop. Sacrifice to God. 1 to every 6 steps. That's David. David was very thirsty, looking for water, and said amongst his men, oh, if I could just get some water to drink, it would really be appreciated. Meanwhile, the enemy was below and there was water there. There was a well there. His men, just by him making that statement, his men went and risked their lives to get him water. When he saw the water, he said, what? You guys did this? It could have cost your life. The thirsty man took the water, gave it, poured it as an offering to the Lord. That's the kind of worship you are talking about. David was going to buy a house, a land, so that his son will build God's house, Solomon's temple. So David went to the person, the threshing floor area, went to the man who owned it and said, I want to buy it from you. You and I must learn this. I want to buy it from you. The man said, oh, you are king. I'll give it to you for free. David said, ooh, I cannot give to the Lord that which will not cost me. I can't. Then I'll give it to you at a discount. No, no, no. Give it to me at full price. Because it's God's. Because it is God's. I want it full price. No wonder that the star of Israel is the flag of Israel is the star of David.
That's right.
No wonder in heaven, whilst you are in heaven, David's name will be mentioned. Because the Bible says that God's kingdom, Christ will sit on the throne of David. And it will be an everlasting kingdom. The Medra. So it shows that, look, when God is looking, he's looking at the heart and looking at the people who love and worship him. If I, when you love God, all things will work together for you. When you love God, there's nothing that can be withheld from you. You would see that the two people who were very close to Jesus had different things that happened to them compared to their others. I'll explain it. David lived a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. That's a beautiful thing. Now, all the disciples, there were many apostles. Then there were, 70 disciples who were sent out. Jesus sent them out to preach. And then out of them, then we have 12 apostles of the Lamb who were very close to Jesus. Now, out of the 12, there were three of the apostles who were always with Jesus. The Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was going to be transfigured in the mountain, he went with only three of his apostles, Peter, James, John. Jairus' house, when he was going to cure or raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, who did he go with? Peter, James, John. During in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to pray before he was taken away, he and his disciples, he told the disciples, wait here whilst I pray. Peter, James, John, come with me. Hallelujah. Oh, may you and I be, Peter, James, John, but I want to be the John. Amen. And I hope you want to be the John. Now, John is different from all of them. Now, John was the one who rested his head on Jesus' shoulders. John was the one who was close to Jesus. John was so confident about that, that in his gospel, he wrote that, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. Because he was like Jesus' small boy. He was very close to Jesus. Now, all the apostles had to die to prove their faith. They were martyred. Peter was crucified upside down. There's a very good book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, which talks about how from the apostles, how all of them died. And then it goes into Nero, into Marcus Aurelius, into all the people, the Caesars who martyred the Christians. It talks about all of that. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Hallelujah. Very good book. I was watching something about Catherine Coleman, and that she, the Bible plus Fox's Book of Martyrs was what she held. So I took it. I just went to order it immediately. Hallelujah. If there's a book that I hear that Bishop is very interested in, he talks about Kenneth Hagin, just collect, just find the book. Because we don't know, we want to learn. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin, after Bishop introduced Kenneth Hagin, he said that apart from the Bible, Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. You better have the book. Hallelujah. So it talks about how all of them were martyred. Peter crucified upside down. James, there were two James, not the brother of Christ, but the other James was beheaded. No, he wasn't beheaded. Yeah, he was beheaded by Herod. Hallelujah. Was he beheaded? Yeah, he was beheaded. Yeah. Because I know Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was beheaded because he was a Roman citizen. And James was also a Roman citizen, yes. So he was also beheaded. Hallelujah. Because they couldn't crucify a Roman citizen because it was very bad. That's why Paul could not be crucified. Hallelujah. But Peter, all of them were crucified. But John, the Revelator, what happened to John? John, they wanted to kill him, so they put him in boiling oil. He didn't die. They couldn't kill him, so they banished him to Patmos, the island of Patmos, because he could not die until God said he was ready for him to die as an old man. Hallelujah. Because, and I take it that because he was so close. When Jesus was about to go away, Jesus told Peter, you see now, when you are young, you could go where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you'll be carried up. And you will not be able to go. Wherever the people who are carrying you will take you, that's where you are going. Talking about how you'll die. Then Peter asked Jesus, what about John? What's going to happen with John? Jesus said, forget about John. Whatever is going to happen to John has nothing to do with you. Because he was a special guy. Amen. May you and I be that special guy. Amen. The Johns. Amen. Yes. But it comes by always wanting to be around Jesus. Always wanted to be close. Jesus, I just want. So in the year 2018 onwards, may we be people who Jesus knows. If we are, he's looking for someone who loves him, he should look our way.
Amen.
That song, if you're looking for somebody who loves you, look my way. Look my way. If you are someone who God loves, God will do anything to make sure you are secure. God will move things to just make sure that you are fine. Ah! David, with all his killing and murder and all that, the Bible says God gave David rest on every side. No more fighting. God blessed him so much that his son Solomon, in his misbehaving, his son Solomon had a good reign. No problems, because David's success spilled over. May your success spill over to your children.
Amen.
And to their children.
Amen.
A righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Children's children. Am I preaching to somebody? So let that be the key.
Amen.
To love God, to please God, whatever it means. Because my pleasing God is different from your pleasing God.
Right.
What God will require of me is different from what God will require of you. I used to ask myself, I want to please God. By the way, the people died for their faith, I wasn't thinking well. I want to do something wild so that God will know that I like him. And then I remember that, no, it was not necessary for everyone to do it. Everyone has what God has given the grace to do. No, I don't want to be martyred. No, that's not the calling. So, but there are some who... so that thought, gone out in Jesus' name. Yeah, as someone, you are trying to find ways to become wild for God. Am I preaching?
Yes.
Yours might be something different from mine. Am I preaching?
Yes.
The woman, when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house and Lazarus' house, I believe, and they were eating, Mary took very expensive, her year's wages, expensive ointment, and then anointed Jesus' head. And then Jesus said, look, she has done her good work. She has done what she did. Whatever she's come to the earth to do, she's done. What she was required of was to anoint Jesus' head. She's done a good work. Wherever the gospel is preached, it will be mentioned. Sarah, Abraham's wife, her job on earth was to believe God and just as an old woman, just gather her loins, release herself. There are children here. Me, I'm very... anyway, there are children here. We all know what I'm talking about. We all know. Even you here, you know what I'm talking about. Release herself. Open her legs wide for her husband, Abraham, to do what he needed to do. Many old women would have said, come on, what are you talking about? I can't have children. Number one, even at the normal age, I couldn't have children. Now I'm past the age of childbirth. How can I have a child? But when you read the heroes of faith, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, Sarah received, she was a hero of faith because she received strength to conceive. That's it. That's all. She believed God and received strength to conceive. She said to herself, wow, I'm that old. Let me wear makeup. Let me have a good shower. Let me wear makeup. Let me organize myself. Let me wear very nice skirt, very nice clothes. Let me let him desire me. I don't know, I'm preaching to somebody. And then went into the bedroom. That's faith. And then said, husband Abraham, come in unto me. And God said, you are a hero of faith. You are added to all the heroes of faith because of that. So that's, now what is yours? What is mine? Don't look at someone's race and say that you have to do the same thing. Whatever God wants you to do, there could be some people here who are supposed to even be doing more than I'm doing, or even more than Bishop is doing. We don't know, because we're all church members. I don't know. It's only God who knows. You might not even know, but as you are availing yourself to God, you will know what you need to do. Or you just need to do nothing. Or you don't even need to be a pastor. You don't even need to preach. You need to finance the gospel. I see financiers of the gospel. Amen. Because of their millions of dollars. Amen. US dollars. Hallelujah. There are some like that. There are some who can become political leaders who would push the gospel. We don't know, but whatever it is, do what you need to do. God said, I have found David in Acts. After he had overthrown Saul, God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. I have this testimony of David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who would fulfill all my will.
Hallelujah.
And when he had removed him, Acts 13, 22, he raised up, like God is raising you and I up. He raised up unto them David to be their king. He raised David up. How did God raise David up? By causing him to run away from Saul, running in caves, hiding. How did he raise David? By causing him to be in the king's palace and to be dodging spears. How did he raise David? In the wilderness. As he fought the lion and the bear and prevailed against them. I have raised David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. Hey, God is giving testimony of you and I. Of whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. Now to find means you are looking. God is looking. Okay, this lady's heart is perfect towards me. This guy's heart is perfect towards me. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. That's my prayer. Which shall fulfill all my will.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes God just takes you and molds you and I.
Hallelujah.
And makes us into the perfect vessel of honor, sanctified and meet and prepared for his use.
Amen.
May that be my story and your story.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We will continue, God willing, next week. Shall we stand to our feet? You can put your hands together for Jesus. And speak to the Lord. Ask the Lord to give you his grace to be committed to him. To be committed to him. Then God will remember you and I. God will remember us. God will remember us. Let's sing a song before we close. Oh, bless the Lord. Speak to him.
Bless the Lord. Oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me.
He has done,
and he has done great things,
so many great things.
He has done great things,
so many wonderful things.
He has done great things. Bless his holy.
Last time, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless his name.
Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
has done it. He has done.
He has done great things.
So many great things.
And he has done great things.
So many wonderful things.
And he has done great things.
Bless.
Speak to the Lord just a minute or two. That God give me the grace to be committed to you, to love you, to worship you, to be a person of prayer. Let me love your word. Let me love your word, oh God. I want to love your word. I want to love you more. I want to love you more, oh God. I want to praise your name. Speak to him, Lord. Give me the grace. For it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, speak to him. Oh, blessed is the one whom you choose, whom you choose, whom you choose. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, oh God. Oh, yes, Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. If you are here this afternoon and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. If you are here like that, or you are watching and you are like that, lift your hands and I'll pray with you. I want to be born again. I want the new birth experience. I want my sins forgiven. You can just lift your hands up. Let's all repeat after me. Especially those who want to pray this prayer for the first time or in a sincere heart. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you.
I come to you
in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe
that he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross
for my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me
for all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me
from all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's time for communion. Let's sing Sons of God.
Sons of God, hear his holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Eat his body, drink his blood, and we'll sing a song. Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever. Holy world, gather around the table of the Lord. Eat his body, drink his blood, and we'll sing
Bible says, for we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. The Bible also says that for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says, who, look at 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our own sins on his body. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Father God, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for us. By his stripes we are healed. Father God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which was shed for us for the forgiveness, for the remission of our sins. We give you praise, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. On a hill
far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem
of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Okay.
The body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
The body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Which was broken for me.
Which was broken for me.
By his stripes.
By his stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
The blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Which was shed.
Which was shed.
For the forgiveness.
For the forgiveness.
For the remission.
For the remission.
Of my sins.
Of my sins.
I have faith in Jesus Christ.
I have faith in Jesus Christ.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
And in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
And in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
In the death.
In the death,
burial,
and resurrection
of our Lord Jesus
of
Christ.
Our Lord Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ,
the blood
my
of
Lord
Jesus
and Savior.
Christ.
My Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
Father God, we thank you for the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross
someday for a crown.
Father God, we thank you and we bless and honor you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be committed to you, the grace to be committed to you, the grace to be readers of your word, to love your word, to be people who communicate with you, to be worshippers. Give us the hearts of worship to you, O God. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name.
Amen.